you're like me, everywhere you turn, you are hearing stories of how tensions are running high for people right now. Whether you're trapped at home with kids, or you're home alone indefinitely, or you're working on the front line of the crisis, we are all just doing our best to get through it. But this pandemic has put a strain on many people's relationships, romantic or otherwise. And we want to talk about that today. We want to hear from you, and we want to explore what those challenges are and how you're doing. What is your biggest challenge this week in terms of taking care of yourself and your relationships? What have you been doing to take time? How have you been investing in either your romantic relationships or other relationships, maybe with roommates or people you live with? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Over a month into our new normal, we're going to check in with Meredith Goldstein. She's going to help us have this conversation. She is behind the Boston Globe Love Letters advice column and podcast, and has certainly been providing guidance in this new context. Meredith, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm alone, I should say that. I am one of those people in quarantine by myself. So
you're in the alone indefinitely category.
Yes. You know, when I was hearing you say the categories, I was like, oh, that's me. It's me talking to myself in my kitchen and on a lot of Zoom calls. So, you know, it's very interesting to me that I have many people checking in with me because they know I'm single and live alone. And often those people have partners and children. And I think there's an amusing thing where the single people living alone are calling each other and saying, we're really worried about the people who are partnered. That sounds really hard. So, you know, it's hard to say who has the greatest challenge. I think the people who are living with family right now and loved ones have their own courageous experience that they're living every day, just like the people who are alone.
So I want to talk about all of that, you know, getting into relationships. As RuPaul says, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? So let's start with self-care.
Yes.
How do you help take care of yourself? And don't you need to take care of yourself in order to be able to take care of others?
You absolutely do. And I think that, you know, if I am to take one lesson from this, and it's so difficult to think about finding joy and self-care when there's so much to worry about and there's so many people to worry about. And I noticed at the start of this, 5 to 7 o'clock at night, it was a very difficult time, that early evening, because that's when all of the terrible news of the day starts to, you know, land in my lap, right? In the form of emails and texts and alerts. And I started to realize that maybe part of self-care was turning the phone off at that point and getting my information at different times of day. Taking a walk when it's safe is so important. Privacy is important even when you're around 16 people, even if it means listening to some music and closing your eyes to be by yourself. So I think that self-care, you know, we like to say that on any given day. It's just such a like a thing we say without thinking about it. Now I know how it's defined for myself. And I think I've been kinder to myself during this time than I ever was before. You know, life before this was to-do lists and obligations and me feeling like I didn't get enough done. And now when I make my own coffee, I'm really proud of myself. And when I call friends and loved ones, I'm very proud of myself. So I think RuPaul has it right. Like if you get through a day and you were good to yourself, you had a good day.
And Meredith, I have to imagine that gets so much harder when you're already vulnerable, you're food insecure, you're rent insecure, you don't have access to the resources that you need, you're in a community where people are housed tightly together and you can't practice good social distancing. How does the self-care equation change under those more vulnerable circumstances?
People keep saying we're all in this together, and certainly we are, but some people have lost income. You know, my sister is incredibly, you know, she has a very bad Crohn's disease. So she has an autoimmune issue and living in the East Village in New York City. And she's afraid to open her window. She hasn't left the house in, you know, 6 weeks. So, and has lost income, right? So every person is experiencing this actually quite differently. You know, for my sister, watering her plants, that's self-care. Talking to me on the phone is self-care. I also think that people who can be grateful for what they have, whether they're single or couples, are trying to figure out how they can give back. I mean, I think a lot about, well, I am a single person. How can I give back? I don't have anybody's, you know, I don't have children to watch and obligations to meet in terms of family. So perhaps I can sit on FaceTime with somebody's kid and entertain them. Perhaps I can call someone who doesn't have someone to call them on any given day. There are a lot of great volunteer opportunities right now. And I think that that can help the people who do have feel like they're part of a community. So, you know, I think and sometimes self-care is asking for help from people you know can give it to you.
Meredith, let's take a call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Call and ask advice from Meredith about relationships and how you maintain them, or tell us your story about how you're experiencing your own time with yourself or the people that you love in this age of quarantine and virus. We've got Tamara on the line from the South End. Tamara, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Go ahead.
So I live in Boston with my fiance, and we have very different sleep times. So he was up till 2 a.m. last night playing Zoom trivia with his friends to fundraise money for a nonprofit. And I go to bed at my happy places between like 9:30 and 10:30. And
ouch.
It's hard because we live in a small apartment, and I can hear him laughing and having a good time. And I want to acknowledge and like have him have his space to be able to stay up and enjoy himself. But I also had a really tiring day today. I'm going on a walk to try and get air to wake up to work the rest of my work day from home after. But it's just really challenging. So I welcome any advice. I realize we don't have a house, so we can't be in separate areas, but it's definitely really challenging for us right now.
Meredith,
I'll just turn it to you.
I'm hearing this a lot. And I just want to start by saying that my entire love letters inbox is mostly, I mean, it's all about this, right? It's all about how to share space when that space, especially in a city, is quite small. And, you know, there are a lot of compromises that have to be made right now, which is sometimes trivia night's going to work and sometimes not. And sometimes the activity is going to be something where you type instead of talk. And I just, you know, was talking to a reader who has turned her kitchen into her office. And she said, if my kitchen is my office, I don't like it when my husband comes into the kitchen and throws things in the sink, right? So I was actually telling her to build a fort. I mean, literally to put up a sheet in front of that desk space to really delineate what's the office, what's not the office, and bring that sheet down at the end of the workday. So in that specific case, yes, it's a compromise you made. It was lovely of you to sort of not object to your partner staying up and being loud. But, you know, it is something we're just going to have to give and take on. And I keep telling people, couples, like, if you're having trouble with this, this is not normal. And this is there are some couples who say, wow, we're doing so well. We're amazing in quarantine. We're winning quarantine. Well, good for them. That's wonderful. But this is supposed to be, this is not your normal. So I think this constant.
So when you say this is not normal, you don't mean having trouble with this is not normal. You mean, of course you're having trouble with this because
yes,
we are not in normal times.
Yes. And I think it's important to note that it doesn't say something greater about your communication or your relationship up. You know, if you're having a difficult time, it is difficult. So I think it's about the daily compromise and the daily check-ins of, you need 15 minutes by yourself? Great. You know, I need to wake up in the morning early. Tonight's not the night to be social. So it's being the best roommate you can possibly be to your partner, because there is a different set of rules for roommates than for romantic partners sometimes. But right now, everybody's both. It's like all in one. So, you know, kudos to you guys for giving each other space and you know, reaching out to friends when you can and taking the walk when you need to. But my gosh, it's not easy.
So Tamara, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So what's your response? I want to just give you a chance to close it out with Meredith.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, I don't think I'll build a fort, but I think that it's good advice. I think that it's also, yeah, the daily check-ins. I think that if we can communicate, you know, what are the nights that I have to be up late when it's not when I have to be up early or something would work. But I just sort of wanted to acknowledge that I think that it's also very much related to gender and or sex, I guess, because I've talked to a lot of female friends, and it's like remarkable how much earlier women go to bed versus men. So that's just something that I've noticed from people I've spoken to. So just something else that I wanted to add. But
Although I do wonder, Tamara, if I wonder if that's age related, because I suspect you and I are different ages, and in our house, I am definitely the later go to better than my husband.
I was going to say the age thing might be part of this, and I do also know that some people who go to bed early are now staying up very late. That a lot of people have really changed their schedules. Maybe their kids are sleeping in later because they don't have to get up for school. So I think it might take a while for people to figure out what their normal is right now. And, you know, I'm a night owl, and lately I've been going to bed at 10. So you never know, I think, right now. Yeah.
Meredith, we got lots of people who want to talk to you. So I'm going to take another call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. I don't know if it's Carolyn or Caroline, but you can tell me in Somerville.
Hi there. It's Caroline in Somerville.
Hi, Caroline. Go ahead.
Hi. So, I'm currently in Somerville, but my sister is actually in Chicago, and her due date for her first baby was on Saturday. And I'm curious about what you two moderators have to say about how I can best support her. I've been calling and FaceTiming her every day, but as you can imagine, she's really uncomfortable in the first place and having a really tough time with the uncertainty right now.
Great. I have to tell you, Meredith, it's a great question. And strangely, you know, at my age, I'm in my early 40s, I have a lot of friends who are pregnant and delivering right now. And I've been trying to make guesses about what to do. And one friend who just had her child like a week ago, finally, we just said, what is the thing? What is the thing you want? Because I was getting creative. I was thinking texts and calls and what is the right gift. And she knew exactly what she needed. It was so wonderful to be able to hear, I am anticipating my needs. I am telling you what they are. Do not buy me this gift certificate. Buy me that gift certificate. Do not call me here. Call me there. So I think often the best people to answer that question are the people going through it. You know, any partnership she might have there, they might be able to clue you in as well. But it sounds like you're doing a lot of the right things just by I always say check in, you know, four times as many times as you need to. They'll tell you, they won't answer if they don't want to talk. But I was delighted to know that I could give a person exactly what they needed. And that, you know, she was saying, check in with me in 3 weeks because my list might be different. And I think that that's also part of this. And it's not just about people who are having children right now, but across the board, a person's needs might change day to day. And even my sister's needs in New York, you know, as someone who might not have access to as many things in a safe way, what she needed week one for me, I was sending her all of these packages that I thought would help keep her safe. And she finally said to me, can you stop sending me things that I have to go to the door to get? Like, all I could think to do was, it was making me feel better to send her disinfectant and, you know, toilet paper. And, you know, for her, she needed to instruct me. So I think it's always best to say, what do you need? And if they don't know yet, wait for them to know. Because right now, things change by the hour. I think that's true of anybody having a baby too. It just, you don't know till you're in it.
Let's take another call. We've got Matt on the line from Scituate. Hi there, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. So my wife and I are staying with family on the South Shore. We left the city when this all started, and we have two young kids. And I was curious if you had any tips just to how to balance doing our own daycare now while working remote, while also continuing to hopefully thrive in our relationship and make time for each other?
You know, it's such a great question and such a big question. Over the past few weeks, I've talked to a lot of mental health professionals, specifically about how children are dealing with this and how parents are dealing with this. And many of these mental health professionals will remind me that children are quite resilient and the parents actually need a lot of help because we sort of know what we're missing. We know all of the fears we might have. You know, adults are well aware of what's happening in the world, and teenagers are a whole other situation, I've been told. But, you know, the sort of self-care, you know, making sure you're in a good position first is the first thing I would say. And the second thing I would say is that I have had so many conversations with readers and with friends about screen time. And this is something that used to be, right, the thing that no one wanted to do. You know, don't stick your kid in front of a television. And as someone raised on television, and I think I turned out okay, you know, you know, I spoke to a psychotherapist who very much specializes in healthy escapism, Dr. Drea Letamendi, and she told me that, you know, you can build a lot of parasocial relationship skills by watching television, by seeing narrative. So if you are putting kids in front of a television in the right way, that can be great. And it's also, my first advice to couples is find a show. I think there is nothing better than watching something with a partner that you can really talk about. And especially right now, because we don't want to talk about this all day. If we've lost a job, if we're scared of our health. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we only have about 3 minutes left, and I've got one more call I'd like to try to get into
you.
So we've got Marie on the line from Concord. Marie, we don't have a lot of time, but ask Meredith your question.
Hi, I just wonder if you have some advice for those of us that are going through the divorce process or it's just getting started, and you are having to quarantine and stay civil when you have children and try to hold it all together.
You are not the first person I've heard this from. And again, I send you all of my love because this is a difficult time. Once again, all of these places where we can find escape in healthy ways are so important right now. And I truly believe that the people who are going through a divorce right now, once they get on the other side of this, I'd like to believe that all of those conflicts are going to be easier to work out, because if you can get through this, you can just get through about any type of negotiation. So I think it's just trying to figure out how to be mutually respectful, you know, enjoy your children and take some long walks if that's possible, because, you know, finding any kind of space is just the right, I think, self-care that you need. But it is incredibly difficult. And my heart goes out to everyone who's quarantined in a tough situation like that. It's a lot of the letters of my inbox.
Yeah, I'm really glad we had a chance to get to Marie. We've got about 2 minutes left. So Meredith, I'll just ask you last couple of thoughts on advice, both for people who are in maybe long-term committed relationships, but also people who wanted to date and are now finding themselves trying to do that while in quarantine.
I just have to remind people to be kind to themselves. Single people, there is another side to this. You will get to date again. There are people having Zoom dates. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. No one's doing anything, you know, wrong by not dating. And for couples, it's also the same thing. Like this, we're getting through this by the hour, by the day. And if you're kind to yourself, you're more likely to be kind to somebody else. And I think that's the lesson we should take away from this, right? Like getting through every hour and saying, I'm doing this with a partner and thank you for being here. It can turn the day around a little bit. So, you know, just having that gratitude and appreciation, I think, for yourself or having a partner.
And Meredith, in our last little bit, what's your next aspiration for yourself during this crazy time? Something you'd like to do for yourself or something you'd like to experience that's keeping you motivated?
Well, I have to say that I take walks around my neighborhood and now I see people in masks and they're far away and I want to know who they are and I want to smile at them and I want to, ordinarily I'd walk quickly by them in a hurry. And my goal is to not be in such a hurry after all this is over and to truly appreciate the community. You know, Boston's a great place for community and I never want to take that for granted again.
And that is Meredith Goldstein, who's behind the Boston Globe Love Letters Advice column and podcast, and who was generous with her time and advice today. Meredith, I really appreciate you joining us. Take good care.
Thank you for having me.